It's time for Business Now. Yuka's joined us in the studio. Good evening to you. The United States has ambled into another government shutdown as Republicans, Democrats in Congress fail to pass a funding bill in time for the new fiscal year.
Well, Mark, the blame game has begun, with the Republicans calling it the Democrat shutdown as they falsely accuse the opposition of blocking the budget over health care for undocumented immigrants. The GOP wanted to pass a stopgap bill to fund the government at last year's level through mid-November, but Democrats rejected it as it did not meet their core demand that subsidies under the Obama-era Affordable Care Act, set to expire soon, should be extended. Luke Traeger has the latest.
As many government operations ground to a halt in the United States on Wednesday, it wasn't long before the finger-pointing began.
Well, good morning. Democrats followed through on their threat to shut down the United States government. They prioritized taxpayer-funded benefits for illegal aliens over keeping the government open for American citizens. They themselves positioned that as a binary choice, and it's patently absurd.
An oversimplified claim, with Democrats seeking to prevent the expiry of healthcare subsidies at the end of the year, something that would leave 4 million Americans without coverage and increase premiums for 20 million more.
Preserving and expanding access to quality, affordable care has always been House Democrats' top priority. It should come as no surprise to Republicans that we wouldn't support their agenda that dismantles healthcare, makes it more expensive, and puts it out of reach for hardworking families.
In the meantime, the shutdown puts some 750,000 federal workers on furlough without pay each day it lasts, with Donald Trump threatening that they're the ones now under threat of being fired as the U.S. president pursues his goal of shrinking federal government. The White House has already announced 300,000 federal layoffs to that aim this year. For now, essential services like the military, medical and law enforcement will continue, albeit unpaid, as both Democrats and Republicans dig in their heels and wait to see which side will blink first.
So the close down underway. The question is, what economic consequences can we now expect?
Well, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimates that furloughing an estimated 750,000 non-essential workers will amount to about $400 million in lost compensation each day. And with their salaries suspended and with the threat of being fired during the shutdown hanging over their heads, they will likely cut back on spending. The last government shutdown nearly 7 years ago, which lasted a record 35 days, is estimated to have reduced America's economic output by $11 billion, including $3 billion, which were never recovered. President Donald Trump also threatened to take irreversible actions during the shutdown, including cutting funding for programs favored by Democrats. This Wednesday, the White House said it had put on hold $18 billion earmarked for infrastructure projects in New York City. The political wrangling comes at a time the U.S. economy is fragile. Inflation has been rising over the past few months. The latest figure for August showed consumer prices rose 2.9% from a year earlier and 3.1% if food and energy were excluded. The labour market is weakening. Last month, the Bureau of Labour Statistics said the U.S. economy had created 911,000 fewer jobs than previously thought during the year that ended in March. And with the BLS's latest jobs and inflation data planned for this Friday now set to be delayed, it makes it even more difficult for monetary policymakers at the U.S. Federal Reserve to strike the right balance between taming inflation and avoiding a recession.
Now, speaking of the Federal Reserve, the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that one of its governors can stay in her position, blocking President Trump's effort to fire her.
Well, the highest court has ruled that Lisa Cook can remain as a member of the Federal Reserve's seven-member governing board for now. Over the summer, President Trump announced he would remove Cook, who was appointed by his predecessor, Joe Biden, accusing her of mortgage fraud. Denying the accusation, Cook filed a lawsuit against that decision in August. Since then, two lower courts allowed her to stay on her job. The case came to be seen as another attempt by Donald Trump to challenge the independence of the central bank. The Supreme Court, however, has not definitively ruled against his attempt to fire her. Instead, it deferred the ruling until justices have heard arguments in January.
Yeah, here in France, commuters are bracing for another day of nationwide strikes and protests over the French budget plans.
Well, Mark, the government's attempt to cut 44 billion euros in spending next year to reduce soaring debt and deficit resulted in the ousting of Prime Minister François Bayrou. And his successor, Sébastien Lecornu, has yet to come up with a new draft budget as he tries to gain support from the opposition. Among labour unions and activists calling for action, there is a common rallying cry: tax the rich. Brian Quinn has more.
Early Wednesday morning, outside Paris's La Samaritaine, activists tag the iconic department store's windows with an English phrase that even the French should have no trouble translating.
It's time for fiscal justice, for the environment, for the social safety net. There's no alternative. The people have tightened their belts enough. Now the super rich need to pay up.
Among recent protests against austerity plans, tax the rich has become a ubiquitous slogan. New Prime Minister Sébastien Lecornu, though, has already ruled out the return of a pre-Macron-era wealth tax known as the ISF, as well as the proposed Zuckman tax of 2% per year on fortunes of over 100 million euros. Lecornu has acknowledged the desire for more fiscal justice in France. To boost purchasing power, he wants to reduce charges that fund the country's social welfare system. Those charges, though, brought some 108 billion euros into state coffers last year. To make up the gap, France's flat tax on investment dividends, currently set at 30%, could be raised, a move that would primarily affect the well-off. The Prime Minister is also considering a reduction in the tax credit companies can claim for research and development, a corporate tax shelter worth 7.7 billion euros last year that campaigners say is frequently abused. Meanwhile, a special tax on the profits of companies with more than a billion euros in annual revenues, planned for 2025 only, could be extended through next year.